Well, we've all seen people with hearing aids have become absolutely smaller. You see a lot of our elderly people who are wearing them, my mum included. And we're joined today by Barney Irvine, or Irvine, I think. He's the CEO of the New Zealand Hearing Industry Association. Barney says new research is showing that untreated hearing loss is not only affecting hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders' quality of life, but it's also costing the country more than $1 billion a year in lost productivity and poorer health outcomes and social isolation. Barney Irvine is with us for a cordial today. Barney, tēnā koe, my name's Dale, and I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you well.
Yeah, good luck. Tēnā koe, mate. I'm just mindful that the technology has become much more sophisticated, and what used to be quite clunky-looking hearing aids nowadays, not even, you can hardly see them at all. But still many people who do have hearing difficulties aren't wearing hearing aids. Your research suggests that there might be up to 300,000 living in this country with hearing loss who actually don't use hearing aids, with affordability being one of the biggest barriers. Now, Barney, what specific policy changes would you make or think would make the biggest difference in getting hearing support to the people who need it most?
Yeah, well, look, what we really need to see above all else is a sort of a mindset shift from the government and from policymakers away from a reactive approach to hearing health to a much more proactive approach focused on early intervention, right? So you've got to, we're focused on ambulances at the bottom of the cliff. We've got to get much more focused on sensors at the top. And you know, that costs money, sure, but it doesn't have to cost a huge amount of money. The kind of things that we're calling for are, first of all, awareness, like awareness campaigns along the lines of what we see with breast cancer or bowel screening or even road safety. Projects like that, we would like to see funding go to hearing health services as well as devices, because at the moment that the funding model is based on devices, right? But the testing, the fitting, the servicing of devices and things doesn't get funded, or most of the time doesn't get funded, and that's a really important part of the cost barrier too, right? Because you're not just paying for the device, you're having to pay for everything else around it, and so funding towards that is really important. Further ahead, we think there's a real opportunity for a screening program to get more people into the hearing health fold, and there's also a really important need. I mean, noise, most of hearing loss is age-related, right? But there's also plenty of noise-induced hearing loss. So that's people having, you know, working in overly noisy environments or accidents or whatever. And we want to see more done in terms of prevention. And that means that fewer people need to come in for hearing aids in the first place. Right, so there are a range of things the government could do, and I guess what this research that we've commissioned shows is that the benefits of that investment are just vastly outweigh the costs. Right, we're talking tens of millions of investment to get hundreds of millions worth of benefits in return. So it's that all comes down to a more intervention-based, early intervention approach, a more proactive approach, rather than focusing on the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff.
Good on you, Barney. It's good to talk with you. Barney Irvine is from the New Zealand Hearing Industry Association. Look, the study found that more than half of hearing-impaired people who don't wear a device were actually unaware that funding assistance exists. Now, I note that you point to awareness campaigns. When you mention this funding assistance that does exist, what is that? And the fact that people are unaware of it, does it point to a failure of public awareness? Who should be responsible for improving that outreach, Barney?
Yeah. Well, look, I guess the positive part of the positive news there is that the use of devices is increasing. Like when we first started this research 8 years ago, it was down at under 42%. Now it's over 48%. So it's a significant increase. So some things are kind of working there. But look, really, so much of this comes down to the need for the government to drive it. I mean, the service providers, the hearing health clinics and things, they put a lot of effort into outreach, and that's clearly working, but it really needs to be supported by the government as well. And to really get out there and into the community. So that's where it has to start and end.
Tēnā koe, you did mention that it's predominantly an age issue, but we do know that Māori have had significant issues, challenges with hearing issues across generations, to be honest. But our people appear to be overrepresented among rangatahi experiencing hearing loss, while also reporting lower rates of device uptake and awareness of those funding options. But what does this tell us, Barney, about inequities in hearing healthcare and what targeted approaches are needed to close those gaps?
Yeah. Well, it certainly says exactly that, doesn't it? That there are inequities and that that targeted approaches are required. Yeah, this is something that this is a kind of a new element of the research. Like I said, we've had this research done twice before at 4 yearly intervals, and we haven't had sort of specific ethnicity questions before. We were very keen to do that because this is an area that other people in the sector have raised concerns about, and the findings certainly seem to correspond with those concerns. Right? I mean, this is an area where we definitely need more research to better understand. But look, there are inequities there, that's certainly what. These findings point to, and I guess what we're saying is that we need to look at those more closely and think about how how the service models need to be tailored to get out to Māori and any other groups of the community that are overrepresented in the stats. And I mean, as you say, really interesting with Māori community being overrepresented in rangatahi, and like part of that is the composition of the population, right, in terms of age, like Māori being a younger demographic, or being a younger population effectively, but also that's a socioeconomic question, right, in terms of and the frequency of hearing health conditions, that cause hearing loss.
Thank you, Barney. I mentioned my mum wears hearing aids, but she's in Medicare over in Australia, and they provide them, and they're pretty sophisticated. Mum's main issue is not with the technology; it's with losing them. So if somebody goes in, we say, oh, listen, I'm not hearing as well as I should, I'll go and get tested. Now, there are private commercial companies that do that work. They advertise as well. So you go in there and then suggested some devices. At this stage, what sort of bill is racking up? And while there is assistance, what you're touching on is many people don't realise how to get hold of that assistance and the cost of hearing aids or the like. But it could conceivably get up to, you know, eights, tens, couldn't it?
Oh, look, there's a big range in terms of the market, right? There's everything from devices that can be. Sorry, I should step that back and first talk about what is available in terms of funding, right? So anybody who walks in the door qualifies for funding through MSD to the level of $500 an ear. Basically, I think it's $512 per ear. So you can go in there and get a pair of binaural, a both ear hearing aid solution with cover for $1,000. Now there are at the bottom end of the market, there are options there that can be completely 100% funded or covered by that funding, right? So that's sort of at the bottom end. They don't have a lot of the bells and whistles, and that goes right through, exactly as you're saying, to models that are up around the 8, 9, 10 grand mark. But look, frankly, not all that many people need or want or get models at that end. The bulk of the demand is much lower down than that. I think from what I understand, the median price point is more around the $2,000 mark, and so obviously, you know, half of what's being sold comes below that. So there is a real range out there, and the decisions are made based on you know, every patient that walks in the door has a conversation with their clinician about what their health need is, what their personal need is in terms of how they're going to use it and what they're going to do with it, and then what their budget is, and you kind of, within that triangle, you find the right solution.
It's been good talking with you on an issue that doesn't get enough traction in our media, but because we've got so many of our whānau who are tangata turi, we know that hearing loss is very significant in Māori communities. So it is right that we touch on an issue of this type with someone as learned as yourself. Barney Irvine is the CEO at the New Zealand Hearing Industry Association, and it has been a pleasure, Barney. Thanks so much for sharing some time with us today.
Thank you, Dale. Look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, mate. All the best. It was 6:03. Bye.